would invite Nuno to join us. Tapani and Dominique, thank you very much for your presentation. You will remain with us until the end of the day, I hope. So if there are additional questions, we can also bring it later on in the agenda. Nuno. So Nuno will now run into the assessment that, yeah. So I think we have been trying to understand the Commission perspective on what is expected from harmonized standard. It's not always an easy exercise, and I think I'm just following what Laurent highlighted. It's extremely important to understand the legal perspective and the technical perspective. Based on that assumption, a lot of discussions in GIS Action 5 and Central Equity Working Group 9, we do have been discussing, and there are some recommendations on how to move forward. Some of them may not be consensual and maybe a little bit more controversial, but we will see during the presentation. Nuno, you have the floor. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello, everyone. So I'm the lucky one to speak after the Commission. The goal of my presentation is really... Sorry to go back. Yeah. So the goal of my presentation is really to give you some tips and some practical recommendations on what you should do if you want to draft the standard today using the current CPR structure. Following these recommendations does not mean that your standards will be cited in the official journal. You need to be aware of that. But, yes, but it will really raise the probability of citation of standards, and this is a good way forward. If you meet this criteria of the Commission, this is a way forward, and let's go ahead with my presentation. But first, I would like to briefly talk about mandates. Mandates, today, they are the only legal basis for the development of standards in support of the CPR. Of course, this is only valid until you have potentially a standardization request in place or a new system if the Commission decides to revise the CPR and change completely the approach that we have today. With regards to CNTC answers to the mandates, the situation is unfortunately very unclear. So the Commission has asked the legal services whether the TC answers to the mandate, they are a legal procedure or not, and they do not have an answer at this stage yet. So until we don't have a communication from the Commission side, we'll still send TC answers to the mandate to the Commission, provided that UTC knows the risks that we'll not get an answer from the Commission. Just a small remark with regards to TC answers to the mandates. The mandate, the original mandate itself mentions that the technical committee can make some adjustments to the essential characteristics in the mandate. So this is where it's mentioning the TC answer to the mandate procedure. If you decide to use the revised, the route of TC answer to the mandate, we have produced under the GIS Action 5 a revised template answer to the mandate. Whoops, sorry, wrong button. And you can find under the GIS Action 5 website that we just launched last week. So, moving to the recommendations. This is a typical structure for a European harmonized standard. We would recommend you to follow this structure. First, European forward. The introduction would be something like voluntary, but you could have it. The scope, the normative references, terms and definitions. Clause 4 should be characteristics. Clause 5, testing, assessment, and sampling methods. Clause 6, AVCP, Annex ZA, bibliography potential you can have. And you could also have potentially normative annexes if needed, linked with the test methods or with the characteristics. But you should really stick to this structure. Potentially, you could have the clause 4 and 5 mixed together, so you wouldn't have the clause 5 on testing. But the recommendation is really to stick to this structure. Then there are some general issues, some terms or terminology that you should avoid. The first one, the CPD changed to the CPR a long time ago. So today when I look at some candidate harmonized standards, I still see some CPD terminology. For example, evaluation of conformity, type testing. Type testing here is more linked with AVCP. Today we should call it assessment of performance, for instance. Then there are other expressions like that you should not use, like the manufacturer shall declare. Oscar mentioned this morning, if you look at the CPR says you just need to declare the performance of at least one essential characteristic, while the rest can be NPD. Therefore, the standard cannot impose anything to manufacturers. The manufacturers decide what to declare. Requirements is a forbidden word in harmonized standards in support of the CPR. You cannot use the word requirements anymore. In their view, requirements can be seen as national requirements. So therefore, you can replace requirements with the word characteristics or provisions, depending on the context. Product requirements, again, is something you shall not use. Obligations can be confused with obligations for the manufacturers, also not to be used. Shall conform, the same. And the result shall be declared the same thing. So the standard cannot tell what result shall be declared. It's the manufacturer who decides what to declare. Moving to other general points that we have seen that can give you some issues. Do not say at all in standards reference to national requirements or regulations. This is something that should not be used. One of the main messages I want to pass here today is that an harmonized standard should only contain the essential characteristics and the methods to determine their performance. Anything that goes beyond this can be a problem for you. I'm talking about installations, design, maintenance, safety. They are not really performance characteristics, so they should not be part of an harmonized standard. The clause on marking, labeling, and packaging is also, in the eyes of the Commission, something that can be can create confusion. We see marking. This is also this is confirmed in the EC guidelines that the Commission produced. That is also available on the GIS Action 5 document on the send page. Then the European Forward normally is very straightforward. However, every time I open a Haas assessment report, there are always remarks about the European Forward. So this is an example of a revised European for a revised standard. You need to indicate what was the technical committee that prepared the standard, of course. The withdrawal date, which standard is being superseded. This is the information that you need to indicate that it follows a standardization request. Normally, it's a mandate with the current system, but with the regulation 1025 now, we talk about standardization requests. And then you indicate that in the document, that is Annexet A. And this is a general comment, not only for harmonized standards, but for all standards. You need to indicate, in case of a revision, what are the main changes in comparison with the previous version. Clause one, scope. So as a main point, please. Is the scope, okay, sorry, I saw the characteristics. The scope needs to be completely in line with the TC answer to the mandate, or the standardization requests. You need to clearly indicate what are the products covered and the products not covered, as well as the intended uses. So you should not do any limitations to the scope. So for example, if in the cited standard, one product is mentioned in the scope, while you are revising, if you exclude that product, you are creating limitation. This has legal implications because these products are today CE marked. Normative references, this was presented by the Commission. I don't want to talk too much about this. We are also in an uncomfortable position where our internal regulations, Part 3, allows both dated and undated. However, our recommendation would be for you to date the normative references. I know it's difficult. Some TCs are already doing it. Yeah, but this is for legal certainty. This is what the Commission is advising us to do. The clause three, terms and definitions, again, normally should be very straightforward. There are two main points I would like to highlight. So if you use terms from the CPR, they should be used exactly in the same meaning. So for example, I've seen in a standard recently where the word level there for the TC was meant threshold level instead of a level, a numerical value. So be careful with the terms that you use from the CPR. On the other hand, if you use terms from the CPR, they should not be repeated in the scope, in the clause three of the standard. For example, product type, class, level, I've seen these terms defined in the clause three, factory production control, AVCP, etc. This is really to avoid. The clause four, characteristics, I have seen, you should really stick to the title characteristics. I have seen product requirements, I have seen requirements, I have seen product characteristics, I have seen essential characteristics. Just stick to this one, characteristics. Of course, here you need to list all the relevant, all the essential characteristics in line with your mandate or the standardization requests, if you are one of those TCs working on it now. Normally, each subclause of this B clause of characteristics should be the name of the essential characteristic. So for example, 4.1 should be reaction to fire, 4.2 should be compressive strength, 4.3 water permeability, and so on. For each of these essential characteristics, you need to indicate what is the assessment method, normally one assessment method, that's what the commission wants. Normally is a test method, but could be tabulated values or a calculation, for example. And for each of these essential characteristics, you need to indicate how to express the performance. These generate sometimes confusion. There are, according to the CPR, four ways to declare the performance of an essential characteristic. A class is a range of values. A threshold level is, for example, greater than 5 newtons. A level is a numerical value. You test, you get a result in a certain units. A description is a sort of a text, for example, water leakage or no water leakage, something like this. This is also possible according to the CPR. And remember, the pass-fail criteria or the pass-fail as a way to express a performance is not really welcomed by the commission anymore. So you should find a way, for example, with the description or with the level to declare the performance of those characteristics that had pass-fail in the past. These are two examples on how you should draft the clause for essential characteristics. Example one is for resistant to wind loads. That is a short definition of what the essential characteristic is. And then there is the wording when tested according to 5.3. And in 5.3 is where you have the assessment method. The resistant to wind loads is expressed according to table one. And in table one is where you have the way to express a performance. It should be, for example, a classification. Example two, bending strength. This wording was confirmed by the European Commission, which made us quite happy. This is very, we know that is a bit vague, but the wording is the following. When assessing bending strength, this shall be determined according to 5.2. It could be potentially EN15197 if you don't have a clause 5. And then you indicate that the performance of bending strength shall be expressed in megapascal, so that's the units. You know that the way to express is a level, is a numerical value. So non-mandated characteristics, you may know them very well as voluntary characteristics or additional characteristics. We prefer to call them non-mandated characteristics. The position of the Commission is very clear in this regard. Non-mandated characteristics should not be included in harmonized standards, so that would be, of course, our advice to you if you want to avoid problems. And this is linking, of course, with what Eric just said. We have been discussing with some technical committees how to solve this problem. We have been discussing as well with the Sensenalec BT Working Group 9 on the strategy for the construction sector. And the proposal is to have a separation of into two standards, part one and part two. It can be different references numbers. It doesn't have necessarily to be part one, part two, but this would be an easier example and is more requested from the TCs. This is an optional solution, so the TCs decide whether to follow this or not. But in practice, the part one would be, for example, the product harmonized standard that would contain only the essential characteristics and the assessment methods. Of course, the AVCP clause, Annex A. This standard would have to comply with Sensenalec internal regulations, but also conform with the CPR and with the mandate or standardization request. And then at the end, we would offer this standard to the Commission for citation. The part two would be a non-harmonized standard, would only comply with the Sensenalec rules. We would not offer to the Commission for citation. It could contain any additional information you want, for example, installations, non-mandated characteristics, for example. But then at the end, you need to be careful because the AVCP clauses could not be inside this standard because this is CPR and it would conflict with our internal regulations, part two and three, that conformity assessment is not possible. AVCP is for conformity assessment. So you need to be aware of that. And I know some TCs were trying to have this AVCP in the part two, but this is really a problem then. Classes and thresholds, I want to be extremely short because it was mentioned two or three times, just to say that if you want to change classes and thresholds of performance, this is what the CPR is saying. you need either a delegated act or a standardization request. So if you go through with the current system with a delegated act, this is a very lengthy process. In the best case scenario, it would take 1 year. In the worst case, I don't know, 3 or 4 years. So our recommendation to you is, if you can, really try to avoid changing or establishing classes or thresholds of performance. Dangerous substances will be presented in the afternoon, was briefly presented this morning. My general comment to you is that follow the guidance documents. The GIS Action 5 have a document on how to assess and declare dangerous substances in the standards. The Commission also have a document that potentially now is a little bit outdated, but indicates the different situations. There are 4 situations could also be used. But as a general rule, I would say that release of dangerous substances per se cannot be just a standalone essential characteristic. It's too vague. You need to specify what is the essential characteristic. So for example, emissions of VOC or emissions of formaldehyde. So you need to identify the essential characteristic, the assessment methods, normally from CNTC 351, and the way to express the performance. If you don't have that, you cannot really include a clause on dangerous substances in your standard. You just don't include. This is not only about dangerous substances. In general, if you don't have an assessment method, you cannot include the essential characteristic clause in the standard. So this is exactly what I just said. This is what we have seen in the past, a clause 4.5 release of dangerous substances. There is a reference to national regulations. There is no assessment method. So you should not do this anymore, not to include this clause in the standards. The EVCP, basically you need to follow the guidance document. It's guidance, it's not template, so you can still adjust to the industry needs if necessary. I'm very happy to say that the document was finalized recently thanks to the help of the Commission. They have confirmed the guidance document, so you really can start using the clauses that are inside this guidance document. Another point that I want to make, but not to open too much discussion, is just that it would be good practice if you don't have an AVCP standard as a separate document, as a standalone standard. It is much better if you have the clauses of AVCP inside your harmonized standards. I know some TCs have followed and are following this approach, but we have received comments from the House consultants, from the Commission, that the preferred option would be to have it inside the harmonized standard. Annex ETA, so the template, Oscar mentioned, the template didn't change so far, it's quite solid from 2015. Of course, you need to list all the relevant essential characteristics, potentially proxies, if you have them, from the mandate or standardization request and the clause 4. The main point is to be careful with the title of the tables that they want, that you needs to match what you define in the scope. Also, the heading of the table, the product and intended uses need to match. And believe me, sometimes they don't match. I don't know how, but sometimes they don't match. With regards to the table, if you look at the first column, is really for listing the essential characteristics. If you have proxies, you should list them in your first column. So for example, the essential characteristic is tensile properties. Your proxy should be, for example, tensile strength should be in the first column. The second column is really just the clause where you can find the essential characteristics. So for example, 4.1, 4.2, you should not have any text in the second column. Third column is to identify the classes and thresholds. Notes is, for example, to say the units that you used. The European Commission have established a quality check system. They have put in place the Haas assessment framework. They have hired, the Ernst & Young is the Haas contractor who hired Haas consultants for the construction sector. I don't want to talk too much about this because I have presented in detail the system in the last workshop that we organized in October last year. But as a general point, what the consultants need to do is to assess if the standards are in conformity with the CPR and the mandate, or the accepted TC answer to the mandate. There are 2 mandatory, normally, Haas assessments, one prior to inquiry and one prior to formal vote. Optionally, during the drafting stage, the technical committee can also ask for the Haas assessment of the first working draft. But remember, the Haas consultant assessment is just, I'm saying this because I heard this many times from the consultants and the commission, it's just an opinion from the consultant to the technical committee and the commission. Of course, you as a technical committee should follow the recommendations of the consultant, but at the end, it is the European Commission who is going to check if the standard is in conformity with the CPR and the mandate, or TC answer the mandate, depends the situation, but they are the ones that are going to decide whether the standard can be cited or not. There are two important points that I want to highlight with regards to Haas assessment. This is maybe more focused on the technical committees. The first one, it's an extremely important recommendation, is that you request the Haas assessment of the first working draft. It is very important that you receive the Haas assessment comments as early stage as possible, so you can incorporate these comments before the inquiry. And then the second advice to you is that whenever you get an assessment from the consultant, you organize a meeting. You should establish communication with the Haas consultant, potentially organize a meeting with the consultant to discuss and clarify some points. And at the end, it is very important that you use a table of comments of the consultant. In the last comment column, you need to indicate how you will address the comments from the consultant in the standard. I'm almost reaching the end of my presentation. I want to say that we also, CCMC is implementing a quality check system. We have now common key performance indicators together with the European Commission that will help the citation of harmonized standards in the European Union, in the official journal, sorry. The KPI number one is the quality of draft harmonized standards submitted to procedure. This means that at least 90% of the drafts that the technical committee submits to CCMC, either at inquiry or formal vote, need to pass the quality check. This is a stage that we call the in-check, is the first line verification, and we will look at important elements in the standard, like if the Annex ZA is there, if the quality of the Annex ZA is good, if the template was used, and also other aspects we will look. The KPI number two, timely assessment of harmonized standards. There are many sub KPIs inside this big umbrella KPI, but the main one is that at least 80% of the drafts submitted to Ernst & Young for Haas assessment should be assessed within the defined time frames. Normally, the Haas consultant has 35 days to assess the standard. The third KPI is the Haas comments addressed and documented. This is exactly linking with my previous slide. So in the table of comments, you have always to fill the last column and indicate how you are going to address the comments from the consultants. The KPI number four is still not confirmed. It's not agreed yet. It was about the timely citation of harmonized standards in the official journal after offering. The idea was to set a time frame for the commission to assess whether the standard can be cited or not, and then a time frame for citation. Of course, there would be a time frame in case the standard will not be cited, but we would wait for a justification. This is my last slide. These are the two points I really would like you to remember after this presentation. The first one, harmonized standards should only contain the essential characteristics and the assessment methods. If you go beyond this, you may have a problem. Point number two, if you follow the recommendations here, this is what I said earlier, it does not mean that your standard will be cited in your official journal, but it's definitely increasing the chances, the probability of citation. Thank you.
So we are a little bit behind the schedule, but if there are any questions, I will give the opportunity for one or two very quick questions. If not, we will have time for discussion in the afternoon, so we can also come back to those points. If not, then thanks, Nuno. Yes, Tapani.
The party again. Thank you. Just three short remarks. Firstly, you mentioned earlier that there are four ways of stating the performance. Actually, threshold level is not a way you look at these ones. It is level, class, or description.
So you need to
and then threshold level is rather a way to set rules European-wide for the performance demanded. So it comes from a little different angle. So just as a point,
yeah.
You cannot, if you use the threshold level as you kind of indicated, that would become a pass-fail.
So I would then advise the EC consultants to change what they are saying today to the technical committees, because they say exactly what I said.
EC or HAS?
EC.
Okay, yeah, I'm looking at Joel. We have a separate talk. Very good. Then the second one is that this division of characteristics into two standards provides for some issues. Because from the point of view of the exhaustiveness of the standard and of the harmonized system created by it, it does not matter whether you use one or two standards. If you start treating things outside the CPR frame, whether you do it in the same standard or in another standard, things which belong within the basic work requirements, you in a sense invite the regulators still to take them into account. And this does cause problems, as we have seen. So in this respect, one should perhaps reconsider this recommendation on your side. Mm-hmm. And then I also have to refer to what Domenico has said already of the importance of doing the normative references correctly. And then the third thing which I wanted to say is that the issue of timely citation as the last KPI, the problem with setting this kind of an indicator now is that this is now college decision making. So we, the Commission, is really unable to bind the hands of the college for a given time frame. If they want to decide it at length, then they decide it at
length. No, I do understand that. But yeah. On the other hand, there is a time frame for the assessment from your side as well.
Yeah. And well, since you may add something, this is an horizontal topic, of course, which is not only a CPR-based approach, so maybe since you also wants to add something.
Yes, concerning the fourth KPI, yes, good afternoon. Now is afternoon, everyone. Cinzia Missiroli, Director of Standardization and Digital Solution at Science and Lake Management Center. Yes, just to clarify this aspect related to the fourth KPI, we have been discussing with the European Commission over the last few months related to the fact that on our side, we commit the CCMC, the members, the technical committees to take measures to improve the quality of the standards, to make sure that we address the comments from the HAS consultant to allow, of course, the rates of increase of the rates of citation in the official journal. And we have been discussing also with the Commission to try to identify also a KPI on their side in order to allow the timely citation, because we could, of course, do our best in our side and to offer good quality standards, what we also need for the industry and for the market, ensure a timely citation. And what we had identified initially as possible target was what was agreed in an action plan that the ESOS agreed with the European Commission. Now things have evolved since then. We know that is a commission of the College of Commissioners decision, so it might take longer. However, the discussion is that there is also a guidance document that is being developed by the European Commission on all the elements related to standardization requests and the aspect associated to that, and following which we could identify a possible time frame for that aspect and for the citation. But things are still, of course, this is still under discussion. We don't know yet when it is going to happen, but it's something that, again, we are trying to agree with the Commission. Thank you.
Thanks, India. Okay, thanks, Nuno. I think now...